Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God loves us dearly, and He always speaks to us in the heart. He has so much to say, good things, and His love never fails. And He's always willing to bless us, help us go forward in life, and teach us His loving ways. He teaches us in the way of foundation. The foundation of the Lord is good, faithful. When it's all said and done, and when at the great white throne judgment, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, because they realize that the Lord made every effort and wasted no opportunity to reach them so that they could live. And these are those who are dead. They died the second death. They are disconnected from God eternally. And they know it. But they know for a fact that the Holy Spirit and the Father, at the Father's will, did everything to reach them, and they rejected salvation. And see, now people can't tell. If they don't love God, there's nowhere for the truth to connect to them. They push it away. They dishonor it through deception and rebellion. Through deception, if they want something in the world, they try to find something wrong with what God did to save them so that they can justify their actions. And then it don't take long for a deception to turn into rebellion. When you see God doing miracles, keeping His words in the lives of others, it's a witness against the things of this world, as well as a blessing. And it's a clue to let us know that God is truly good. And the only reason there is a period of grace in the first place is because we can't see God. And He gives us a chance to develop in faith and believe. But if the truth that enters our hearts, if the truth that enters our heart is rejected, then you'll never have faith in that area of life, in any situation. You can have faith for salvation and not healing. If you don't hear the truth about God's, about the fact that Jesus was punished, by His stripes we're healed. He paid for our healing legally. In heaven's court, you can legally be healed. And it's easy to access. It's as easy as picking fruit. You just have to believe what Jesus did for you. If you believe He died for you, you can also believe that by His stripes you're healed. And you can stand on that promise until it is manifested. Or you can do the, you can go with the way of the world and reject it. Your soul is still saved because you believed for your salvation, but you didn't believe for healing. And some people were healed by God. They believed that the Lord healed them, but they didn't get saved. But with every part of God's word, we have to believe it in our heart. And if you believe it in your heart, you got faith. And then you have to not doubt. Know that God loves you. And when that's clear, then it'll manifest. Because our Lord keeps His word. And His word is good, true, faithful, just like He is. But He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And so does the word. So did Jesus. And so does the Holy Spirit. And it's the Father's will. Everything the Holy Spirit does is the Father's will. Everything Jesus did was the Father's will. They're in agreement. And then the church, His people love people. And they want people to get saved. Every Christian rejoices when a sinner gets saved. Even if they don't like the sinner, they're glad he's saved. And sometimes they don't like the sinner. The sinner raped their daughter or something. Or did something evil towards them. But they're willing to forgive all that and rejoice in his salvation. So the Lord is using his people to reach people. Man let Satan in the world, man got to drive him out. Jesus did his part. He gave us the ability to drive out Satan. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to drive him out of our path and live on earth as it is in heaven. We're supposed to undo his works, rebuke him, not let him run rampant. And we primarily fight spiritually. And if we have to, we can fight naturally. But if we fight spiritually enough, we won't really have to fight naturally. We can reduce his works to nothing at our will. Because he said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Two chapters over, again, he said, what two or three of you agree on, I'm in the midst. What you bind loose on earth is loosed in heaven. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. The church has to allow what goes on. If we do nothing, we allow it. We can allow satanic activity and act like it's not real, or we can ignore it and he'll keep doing what he's doing, or we can stop it. And all we're doing is saying words in faith. When you see any evil form, and tell Satan he can't do it. And sometimes we allow things because by default, we're just not thinking about it. It's just not on our mind at the time. Or we didn't know we could do some of the things that we can do. You can stop Satan's works. You can't control people, but you can stop Satan. Satan will obey you. He has no choice. Now, people, on the other hand, we don't take authority over their will. We just tell Satan he can't use them against us. But the Lord taught me that when you remove Satan, people are not that hard to deal with. Remember, man is made in God's image. And that's part of him that longs for God, even the most wicked people. You can turn Satan off, and then they'll be kind of dormant. It takes demons for people to really go out there and do the evil things. And we have more people have more influence on people than demons and angels. So when your words are heavy in the ears of men, it would have taken 10 men for God to rescue or not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around. And one city was spared by Lot because he interceded, the town of Zoar. We are mighty in him, and the weapons of our warfare are mighty, they're not weak. I'll put it this way. The weapons of our warfare are mightier than any arsenal. And when you think of an arsenal, that's a heap of weapons used by an army to stop problems. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. The weapons of our natural arsenal is mighty. Atomic bombs are mighty. But our weapons are mightier than that. And if you put a measurement on it, that's how you'll use it. Now, with God, he didn't put a cap on anything he gave us. He gave us salvation. We got salvation. It works forever. Same thing with our healing. If you're missing an arm, your arm can be renewed. You can get a new arm. And I'm going to take a rabbit trail for a moment. I know that sounds weird to some, but a man named Robert Lyden went to heaven, and he saw a warehouse And it was full of body parts. And Jesus told him, you know, anybody that's missing a limb, they can go there and get it and get one. And we do it by faith. We receive, we believe that we're healed and we get healed. It's available because by his stripes we're healed. And he meant totally. To be to the point that you're made whole. That was a man who had an elbow replacement. And he kept believing God for his elbow. And even after the surgery of the, they put a titanium elbow in his arm. And he woke up the next day, his elbow was fine, and that titanium elbow that they put in his arm was laying beside him. So he had a creative miracle, and the elbow that the doctors put in was removed. And this really happened. God can do some outstanding miracles. You know, our youth group had they went to youth camp last year, and a Methodist church went, and one of the kids, their one leg was shorter than the other one, and the Lord caused their leg to grow out to the proper length, and they all saw it and rejoiced and talked about it. Creative miracles. Bone was added. My pastor saw a man's leg grow out to the proper length right before his eyes. See, if you believe God for something, you can have it. If you take him at his word, you can have it. That's all you have to do. Believe his word over all the other voices in the world. And we pointed out yesterday, don't just fight Satan and rebuke the words of Satan, but the words that come from men, the doubts of others. You have to see, and we quench every fiery dart that comes from Satan. Some of them come from demons and some of them come from people. Now, I don't go around rebuking people. Now, I didn't. But I will rebuke their words privately so that their doubt don't get on me. I'm not trying to embarrass them, because people, they say, even Christians can say doubtful things sometimes. Like I pointed out, some Christians act negatively. They respond negatively and their advice is negative, because we know in part. And anybody can be negative in a moment. And at any moment, anybody can be, even anointed people, can say things that disagree with the word of God or give you poor advice. But every time it happens, it's best for you to go somewhere privately and say, I rebuke those thoughts in Jesus' name. And sometimes the Holy Spirit may move on you to say no, and then quote the word in their presence. And that solves your doubt, and it rebukes them and let them know where you stand, and hopefully it can help them to see clearer. But you have to be, if you're guided by the Holy Spirit, whatever God give you to do, it'll turn out right. You don't have to be afraid to speak. We have to love each other. That's the main thing. We operate in love and wisdom. But sometimes you have to rebuke negative words. Jesus did it when Peter said, no, not so, Lord, when he was talking about how Jesus was going to die for him. When Jesus revealed that he was going to die for their sake. Men were going to take him and kill him. Peter said, not so, Lord. He said, get behind me, Satan. In Peter's hearing. And sometimes you'll have to do it in their hearing, and sometimes privately. But every time the enemy speaks, if his words are spoken, rebuke him, so that doubt don't form in you. Because doubt can operate against you just like the word can operate for you. And the Lord put on my heart for today for this broadcast to talk about restrictions, things that restrict the Holy Spirit. Every time the Holy Spirit comes to help us, he's not always successful. On his part he is, but not on, but he's restricted by what we do. These are some things that restrict the works of the Holy Spirit. And it stops the whole process of what he's doing until we get it right. One thing is pride, primarily pride. God doesn't use proud people. Now, if they are anointed and they become proud, they stop the growth of their ministry. Even if they're doing amazing things in the eyes of men, because there's pride, he will not build on it any more than he already has. And if they don't stop, he'll move their candle out of his place. Just like he said in Revelation, he gave them a space of time to repent. Even the woman Jezebel, who was an adulterer, he gave her a chance to repent. And if she didn't, he'd kill her children with death. You can't mock God. You can't do. He give us a space of time to get it right. But that doesn't mean that you're right with God, and that doesn't mean that you're still in the kingdom of God. He's just merciful like that. He give you a space of time to repent before his judgment comes. And he judges people who hold the truth and unrighteousness. And he really wants you to get it right so that you can live forever in the kingdom of God. But pride, he resists the proud. But the anointing is designed to multiply to the fullness of God's will. And when you finish your course, you will at least finish what God expected of you. But let me say this. You're not limited by finishing your course. You can have years of strength where you're still operating by the anointing, and it will continually multiply on your life as long as you live. But for that to happen, you can't be in pride. Another problem is competition. Sometimes Holy Ghost filled anointed people get competitive against each other. And that restricts the flow of God. You're doing this openly in people's eyes, and they see it. Even if it's done secretly, it stops the progress of the anointing on your life until you stop doing that. A lot of people, their ministry stopped growing a long time ago because they're competitive. And their competitive ways and behavior, God can't build on it any further. There's very little he can do in their lives because they're competitive and they won't repent. And if they repent and publicly curse that thing and call it out for what it is, then he'll build on their life if they start operating in love. Love allows the Holy Spirit to have free course. Did you know the Holy Spirit is not welcome in every church to have free course? Men get in the way. They don't yield to him. They preach messages. When he wants to preach one message, they preach another one. They boldly go against the course of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And he's not welcome to have free course. All right, if the Holy Spirit doesn't have free course, your ministry is never going to be what it could be. Point blank. It's not even a candidate anymore. If the Holy Spirit is not welcome to move in the church in your ministry and have free course, if you're trying to preach politically correct messages, if you're trying too hard not to hurt people's feelings, and if you're taking bribes to preach a certain way, just understand the Holy Spirit is not going to operate there like he wants to. Because he's so merciful, he'll do some things. You know, there was a pastor I had once. Sometimes he'd say things under the anointing, and sometimes he'd just say carnal things that just made that was not of God. Not evil things, just wrong doctrine. He would say things that were just wrong. And I had a dream about it. And I dreamt that he was speaking under the anointing, and then again he was speaking just out of his mind. And the Lord said, only listen to him when I'm using it. So I know what I have a revelation of what I'm saying. Think about the Holy Spirit's position. He can't sanction evil. And people can't tell when a person that they look to is acting carnal. They think it's all right. They think God approves it. And the Holy Spirit does not approve carnal behavior. The thoughts of men, doubts, doubtful dispositions. He don't approve that. He only approves faith. And if those who yield and operate in their faith, then the Holy Spirit has something to work with. And that ministry will thrive and grow. It will grow and thrive in life. Not just be in survival mode until Jesus comes. But a lot of people are in survival mode, and that people going to remain in survival mode because the pastor or the leaders of their ministry won't go forward. And the trade-off is compromise and easy life, slumber comfort. You know, some churches, they thrive on going out witnessing, doing the things of God, being a blessing, laying hands on the sick, being a minister wherever they go, ministering to people, helping people. And some churches, you know, they just saved and they just stay in their corner. The Holy Spirit can't thrive on that. You have to do you have to have a love and a thriving passion for others. And it, you know, now when the rapture comes, and everybody that made it to heaven, they're going to be crying because a lot of their loved ones and their children and their parents are not there. You know, some people, their parents are not going to be there. Some people, their children. Some people, their parents and their children are going to be left here. And they're going to wish they would have did better. And they're going to want God to come back and get them. And that's not going to happen. Even if it's my children, God's not coming back for nobody that he left. They're going to have to suffer the tribulation because they was hard-headed. It's not personal. It's just the way it's going to turn out. But my children are blessed. They're going to heaven. And I have faith that they will, and the Lord is with them. But anybody's children who, you know, when the rapture happens, it happens. Whoever's caught off guard is caught off guard. And they'll have to be here. You know, there are many children, they're going to go home and their parents are going to be gone. And their little children and their little siblings, they're going to be in the house by themselves because they didn't get saved. Or they wandered back into the world. And the Lord warned them. They took it, they made light of it, just like Lot's sons-in-laws. And then they're away with parents. They kept playing with the world. And the Lord take their youngest children and leave them. Or whoever in their house is saved gets to go and they get to remain. Jesus said that he came with a sword. He's going to divide the houses. Those that are his from those that are not. But the Holy Spirit is restricted when people take a doubtful disposition. He's restricted when people operate in pride. He's restricted by our competition, which I hate. I refuse to be competitive against anybody. I thank God for all of his people who love him. You have to refuse the darkness for what it is. He's restricted by laziness. He's restricted by self-will. All these things restrict the Holy Spirit. He's restricted by doubt. And definitely by unbelief. That's why the enemy's trying to attack you with those evil things. Doubt is evil. It's full of sin. Unbelief is even worse. It's full of sin. Unbelief is rejection. Doubt is a disabler. You know, some people in life, they're physically disabled or mentally disabled. And they can't run as fast as a person who is healthy, in most cases anyway. But then there are those who are disabled spiritually because of doubt and unbelief. Fear restricts the Holy Spirit. Because, you see, the Holy Spirit is holy. He deals with life and truth and faith and love. He's not going to sanction things. See, people, if he enable people to do the greater things of God, then people will think it's okay to have fear and doubt and unbelief and competition, the evil things. You have to live a pure life. If you're growing in the Lord, he's going to come and help you grow. He's not going to let the things that the personal fears and things like that stop him. He's going to work with you before you get out of it. But before he can mightily move in your ministry, you got to get rid of those things before he pour more anointing on you. Your anointing don't multiply unless you start purifying your life. If you drive out the sin in this world, if you drive it out of you, then the Holy Spirit will rest on you. And you know, the word said be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that's up to your will. You can believe. Some people have prayed in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit came upon them. But the word says be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Welcome the Holy Spirit and yield to him. Let him guide you in life. And it's going to be fine. You're going to love it. But those who don't yield to him, they can't grow. What I'm saying to them makes no sense. But those who yield to the Lord know what I'm talking about, because God is good. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move in your life and bless you to go forward without restriction. And with great joy will he move in your life. And you'll see the greater miracles done. You'll see limbs come on people. You'll see legs grow to proper length. Eyes come back to life. And missing eyes come back, period. If you stick with the living plan of God and yield to the Holy Spirit, these are the possible things that happen among those who love him. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I truly love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.